Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, everyone, to Meta Musings. I'm your host, Misty Garcia, and this is the show where we learn, discuss, and talk all things metaphysical, spiritual, alternative healing, and sometimes considered woo-woo. I want to thank anyone who's joining us here live and anyone listening to the replay. Tonight, my special guest is Sage Dove, and she has been astral traveling since childhood. She was born with this beautiful gift and has been doing it for quite some time, and that's what our topic is tonight. We're going to be discussing all things about astral traveling, and I just want to give a warm welcome to Sage. I'm so grateful that you're able to join me tonight, Sage.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today, this evening. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. And I kind of just want to start off, just in case there's anybody who's listening, and people on Periscope are saying, hello, Sage Dove, just so you know.
Hi, guys. How are you? How's everyone?
And I just wanted to kind of start with just describing what astral traveling is for anybody who doesn't know or has never experienced it. Do you think maybe you can give us a little detail on that?
I can. In a nutshell, to explain astral travel is kind of hard to say because it's more so anything above the ordinary physical sense that we see. So it's beyond your physical senses and more in your spiritual senses. And that being said, everyone, every human being possesses the pretty much innate or like inherent ability to quote unquote astral travel because we are of light, so to speak. So That being said, it's a natural gift for everyone, every human being, because we're having an astral experience. Yes. And it's through our karma that we are allowed to fix past experiences in this realm here. So We, as light beings having a human experience, we're technically astral anyway.
Yeah.
So for anyone who seeks to quote-unquote astral travel, it's all a matter of opening up abilities that you have that are just pretty much laying dormant. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, absolutely, and I love how you put
it.
Someone will have a question about astral traveling.
Yes.
Isn't that something that we do when we're sleeping?
We do it all the time. A memory is a form of astral travel. Your dreams are a form of astral travel. When you quote-unquote get in a zone, that's a form of astral travel. So, like, let's say for athletes, when they're at their highest moment, they're in a zone. They're in a realm where they're able to tap into their highest abilities as a person, and they're able to bring that realization to a manifestation here on the physical plane.
Yes.
So when you're able to, some people do it unconsciously. Some people don't even realize that's what they're doing. But on a spiritual level and on a metaphysical level, if you correlate the two and you know how to balance out you can astral travel consciously. You can. It is an ability that everyone has.
Yes, yes. And someone was saying on Periscope that we have energy bodies that travel while we're sleeping. So, and
travel while we're awake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and all the time. It's we're light beings. It's what we do. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
And when we meditate, like, I don't know if there's a lot of people that meditate, but I know for me, or even when you are daydreaming, that's a form of it as well, right? Because you are in another place. You're not present and conscious of this moment.
Exactly.
So.
Because in meditation, in really deep meditation, time and space do not exist. And that's part of the astral realms or spiritual realms or realms that go past the physical realm which we live in.
Yeah.
Your other dimensions, so to speak.
And I love that. All those things that you tied in, especially with like the athletes and you know, daydreaming and dreaming, because it shows that astral traveling is not so far away. We all have the ability.
It's not this huge. It is a phenomenon for most, but it's a matter of just, you know, do the research and kind of educate yourself and see where you fall in your interest and what sparks your interest. That may be your opening to your astral travel. That may be, it takes the seeker. Be the seeker.
Yes, the seeker. I love that. So, and that's kind of what this podcast is about, because I like to get people who have had experiences like yourself or are experts in a certain field and bring them all together in one place, because when we start opening and being drawn to certain things and we're experiencing spiritual things or learning about spiritual things, that's what we're doing. We're trying to find our niche, the thing that, you know, sparks that light inside of us so that we can do things like this, like astral travel or, you know, connect. And it's different for everybody. You have to find your niche.
Exactly. So. That's the key, is knowing thyself. When you understand yourself, it makes it all the more easier. It really does. And that's, and I say that in the sense of, you know, knowing what makes you tick. Really knowing what makes you tick, what pisses you off, what really makes you smile, you know, what makes your heart light up, you know, what takes you to your deepest, darkest hour, you know, admit these things, acknowledge these things, because when you start, quote unquote, astral traveling for entertainment, because there's different levels, you can astral travel on a entertainment level, you know, for education purposes. You can do this to spiritually enlighten yourself. When you do this for entertainment, I find it more important, even more so. There are more dangers when you do it for entertainment, because more people you don't really find those folks that consider the dark parts of themselves that they will expose themselves to in the spiritual realm. And you open that part of yourself, and if you don't know how to ground yourself after your quote-unquote entertaining astral travel, you can really cause yourself some major damage by opening up certain chakras and not being able to close them. And that's the danger in that sense. But when you do it mindfully, through meditation and to gain spiritual enlightenment, you pretty much know what you're doing, in the sense that you have a respect for your guides and your angels, and you know that's exactly who you're getting in contact with, your past lives, your past selves, karma that needs to be worked out. You have a respect for it on a deeper level, so you know how to ground yourself. You know that you're meeting parts of yourself that need to be worked out, and so it ties into understanding the colors within the astral realms, which has to do with people who can see auras.
Yes.
And most people who can see auras can astral travel, because you're tapping into something that exists beyond our explanation what we can fathom, because that's when you get deeper within yourself. You always go deeper within before you come without, so to
speak.
So
yes,
it's a learning experience.
And so I kind of want to go into, now that we just let everybody know what astral traveling is and what to expect on the podcast, I kind of want to go into your
mm-hmm.
personal experience, because you have been astral traveling since you were like a child, right?
Yeah. I want to say I was I'm born with this gift. I've mm-hmm. always been able to travel astrally. I'm not going to say that I've always been totally aware of the traveling that I've been doing, because it's an innate gift. I dwell a lot with my guides and my angels. I've always had, quote-unquote, imaginary friends. I've always been able to see auras.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that's just been natural. I'm going to be 42 this summer, and it's only been within the past 10 years or so that there's more terminology to explain what I was going through at maybe age 4, 5, and 6 that I'm able to help others.
Yes.
So there was no terminology for this. This was like taboo in my family growing up.
Yes.
Like, wait, you have out-of-body experiences? Like, what's going on? You don't talk about stuff like that growing up in your family. They're like, okay, you're gonna want to keep that quiet. This is back in the 70s and early 80s. This is taboo back then. Now it's more common and more prevalent for this to be spoken of, because you have the internet. So you have
right.
more explanation of experiences and testimonies on the internet than you can count. And
exactly.
it's more open and it's more information out there, so to speak. So it's easier for me, and it's a lot more helpful, and it makes me feel more comfortable to
yeah.
express my gift in this way. Because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't, at that age, I didn't astral travel? Are you kidding me? I thought I was dreaming and I was time traveling, and I had a totally different concept and perception of things as a child. I mean, totally did. I just thought I was traveling. Like, deja vu was common to me. It wasn't a big deal when something happened and I had traveled there already. Wasn't a big deal. To speak about it, it was. But in my head, it was just like, oh, okay. You know, I might end up in California, which is a lot of time I daydreamed about California, and I would end up there, or I traveled a lot growing up. So a lot of these places, you know, I would already have premonitions about them beforehand. Maybe years. It can be like 10 years before something actually came to fruition. But I would remember it, because it was something that was so deep within me as far as being able to astral travel. But I didn't know that that's what the word for it was.
Right. Like having the words to explain your experiences is really helpful, because a lot of times when we don't understand it and we don't have words to communicate it to people, we feel alone.
I struggled with this for years.
Yeah.
Big time. I struggled with this for years. And it's just now recently that I feel more comfortable discussing it. I'm like, this show is really, really helping me big time.
So I
appreciate it. I really do. But it takes growing and learning, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And also finding like-minded people, like community and friendships of people that have had these experiences. So if anybody listening or watching Periscope, you know, you connect with her and, you know, follow her on Periscope. And then when she starts scoping, you know, create communities of like-minded people so that you can learn from each other, you know, and grow with each other.
I like
they're
that.
Saying,
and I think Periscope is an awesome outlet. Yes.
They're saying that we appreciate you telling your story. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. I do have a Zoom where I do conversations, so I'll leave the email address where I can send invites if anyone within the show that's watching this show is interested.
Oh, there's another question. Are you willing to collaborate with other travelers to... Can you put that question back up, Henry? I didn't catch it fast enough. Periscope goes too fast for me sometimes.
It does.
Yeah, so I think he was asking if you're willing to connect with other travelers to find out more about the energy body.
Yes, absolutely. I'm actually, that was another thing. Like within my scope, this is what I do. I'm just trying to build a nice community base of, you know, individuals who are seeking information or just want to be educated. I'm not a teacher. I have taught for maybe about 25 years in the educational system, but this year I'm on my path, and anything that I can do to inform and educate anyone or to, you know, correlate with like minds, I'm definitely game. I'm in.
Awesome. So if you guys...
Yep.
If you guys want to connect with her on Scope, one was asking, it's Fufu Lin. And someone is asking if you've heard of Robert Monroe. I think that's what it said.
I have. I'm not too informed, but I've read a few of his articles. I have.
Okay. Awesome. So I'm writing that down because I haven't heard of him. So I want to look it up.
Yeah, his name has been popping up, you know, when I do go online, do my little research here and there. His name does pop up. Sounds awesome. Very familiar. Yep.
So I wanted to ask you, in the sense of, because you were explaining earlier that sometimes you would astral travel to, like, another place, and then when you would go there in your physical body, you would remember being there in the astral traveling. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that the same thing as remote viewing, or is that a different, is that same thing but a different term, or is it two different things?
I'm not sure, because remote viewing is almost like, I want to say it's more like projection. That's more like projecting, remote viewing. What I'm saying in a sense is more innate ability. This is something that comes naturally from the self. This is like, even if I wanted to not astral travel, I couldn't, because it's something that happens naturally within me. So there are times when it would just happen, and I would catch myself coming back from an out-of-body experience, like, oh, wow. You know, like, what just happened? And I'm, like, just snapping back in, and, you know, I could be in a workshop, and it can be, like, a facilitator talking, and I can, like, zone right back in.
Okay.
Unconscious. Yeah, but it would be a good thing, you know?
Yeah, people are agreeing with you, saying that they can remote view without astral projecting. So that was just something that I was curious about.
Remote viewing would be more like something that's more like invoked, you know, something that you're doing intentionally. It could be a form in a sense, but that's more intentionally.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then there was a question for you.
There is
a person on Periscope asking if you have any advice for a 14-year-old who's experiencing some of these things right now. And I
journal.
Journal. So there you
journal.
Go.
Journal. I have someone that I'm working with. My first thing I told him was to journal, and he's doing awesome. Journal. Journal, journal, journal. Write everything down. Pay attention to your emotions. Experience things fully, and, you know, be mindful of taking on the energies of other people. And that's one thing I wish someone would have told me as a teenager, because, you know, I was like big at, you know, wanting to take on my friends' battles, and it's so much bigger than that. It's a matter of the energies at play, you know, and sometimes you don't realize as a teen what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
When you journal, you understand more about yourself and how you react to situations, and you give less and less of your energy to negativity that's happening. And that's common now in schools and in high schools. So I've worked with teenagers, and, you know, my biggest thing is, you know, journal and, you know, learn about yourself. You know, learn what you're giving your energy to.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest thing.
Beautiful advice. That's beautiful. So she said thank you, and she will suggest that to
her. You're welcome. Thanks. Yeah, no problem. You're welcome.
I was wondering if you could kind of explain what experiences I kind of want to ask more about the extraterrestrial side, because a lot of people, when they talk about astral traveling, they're put into a realm where there's aliens. Have you had any experiences like that?
Yeah, I want to say, and this is, it scared the heck out of me as a kid,
mm-hmm.
because once again, this is not something that was spoke about, but
yes.
As a child, my grandmother used to always tell me, keep your hands and your feet covered. And I never got what she was saying, but I did it anyway. So, you know, before I went to sleep, I would always put socks on, and I would always, you know, put something on my hands, or I would always make sure that my hands were covered or under the blanket.
Mm-hmm.
And I experienced, like, major out-of-body experiences as a child. It was unreal. And a lot of times I would have, I guess what you call it is sleep paralysis, where
yes.
you would experience, I didn't, mind you, had no idea what this was as a kid, okay? And
right.
I'll tell you what the funny part of it. So what I was going through was sleep paralysis, but in the spiritual sense or folklore or like myth or, you know, how that plays out, growing up, I was always told it was called the witch rider. And, you know, as a kid, you know, you're like, you can't tell a kid that. Like, what is the witch rider? Like, what is that? Like, you can't just tell a kid, you know. You know, you've been bad all day, and, you know, that's the witch rider on you. And they used to scare the mess out of me. Like, no kidding, used to scare the mess out of me. So, you know, I get older, and I'm learning, you know, I'm on the Internet, and I'm learning about all of this energy and out-of-body experiences. So, you know, come to find out, you know, everything that I was going through, you know, as I was younger, what it is it's basically when you have your out-of-body experiences, you can have, like, anything can happen. You can have, like, temperature changes that come up. You can have, like me, I didn't keep during my sleep, I would always kick my socks off. So I would never have anything on my feet during sleep. Eventually, they would be off my feet. So that right there was deregulating, and it was setting off the equilibrium within my body temperature. That right there leaves you open, and it leaves you suspect to your aura being penetrated by other entities when you're in the spiritual realms. So, you know, as a kid, I would, you know, I had a very, very, very hard time with, you ever go to sleep and you think that you're using the bathroom and you're really not, and you feel wholeheartedly that you're on the toilet or you're somewhere safe using the bathroom? Well,
absolutely.
growing up, because of this gift, and because I've always astral traveled, as a child, I've used the bathroom. I always peed in the bed. And this was because I was having experiences where I couldn't get back into my body. I couldn't move. I couldn't ground myself to the point where I could get up and go use the bathroom. And
right.
it was one of my most insecure moments growing up. And that's something that I've only shared with one other person. And it was something that I learned just about myself, and coming to grips through, you know, I do theta meditation. So you pull up a lot of what you've gone through in your childhood trauma or an experience. So that was something that I was teased about, you know, in the family. And, you know, I knew what it was. I could try to explain to you, like, look, hey, like, I couldn't get back in my body. But
right,
you can't tell people. You're like, what? Like, you know, I used to get in trouble for that. I used to get in trouble for it. But, you know, in my head, I'm like, no, like, you don't understand. But, you know, trying to explain someone as a child, it's like, no, you should have got up. You were being lazy. You know, I was labeled lazy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And in my head, you know, my grandmother understood. But, you know, once my grandmother passed away, it was like, you know, okay, nobody's going to get me now, and I'm really going to have to go through crap. And I went through crap till maybe I was about, I don't know, I want to say maybe about 13, 14. This went on for a while. Yeah. For a while. And it was due to me being able to astral travel since I was a child.
Yes.
Yep.
I had those similar experiences. So I definitely understand where you're coming from. I don't necessarily remember astral traveling, but having that experience of not being able to get back to my body in time and then waking up and being like, oh my God.
It's a scary feeling.
Yeah.
Yep, it's a creepy, scary feeling. But once you understand, it's like, oh, okay, like that's what's going on. So you ground yourself. There's tons of ways that you can, you know, you can ground yourself. A lot of times cold water on your hands and on your feet helps ground yourself. You know, keeping your hands covered, you know, keeping the room at a moderate temperature, you know, keeping the balance, the energy, you know, around you clear.
What about crystals, like a smoky quartz or something next to your bed when you sleep at night? Is that something that can help ground you?
Yes. And I'm not sure if you've seen my apostolite. Her name's Harmony, that I got from Patty.
Yes,
that stone itself balances the energy, and it transmutes the energy in your room. It's really, really good for astral travel. I call it my dashboard. It's programmed to travel. It protects me. It pretty much does everything, you know. It's amazing. An apophyllite is pretty good. You want to keep red jaspers are good. Red jaspers are awesome for keeping you grounded. Awesome. I have an anklet that I wear. It's a chip bracelet, but it's a red jasper.
Nice.
But crystals are awesome. Super. Crystals are super for grounding yourself.
Awesome. Someone was asking if you have learned to control the astral traveling now. Is that something that you feel like you have more control over now as you've gotten older?
I have. Definitely, I have. It was not an easy task, and I'm still learning. I'm definitely still learning, more so with emotions, you know. Keep in check of my emotions. That's the biggest thing is the emotions, because anything outside of that, you know, your energy, that's where we deal with a lot of our energy as human beings is in the emotions.
Yeah.
But I can definitely say I did, you know, I did get better with it. It wasn't easy though.
Now for somebody who has never or thinks they have never astral traveled, because really they probably have, they just didn't realize that's what they were doing.
This is
what
true.
What are some pros and cons for you know, being an astral traveler or astral traveling?
Okay. The pros. Definitely you can definitely learn a lot about yourself, self knowledge, enlightenment. Through meditation, if you choose to astral travel in the form by going through meditation, be a seeker. Really deep down in your heart, you've got to be honest about things that come up, and you've got to want to check yourself on them. It's more so of a tool on the spiritual path. that you can use. That's one good pro.
Said something about seeing, you can see past lives and your soul memory.
That's yes, that you keep, but that takes practice, and it takes you being sincere at heart with you knowing yourself and having that respect for any knowledge that you receive or any wisdom that's imparted to you or endowed to you when you're in the astral realms, because I have like the utmost respect for it's amazing. I'm like at a loss for words. It's like the utmost respect that I hold for any of my guides or any of my ancestors, because it has to be held in your heart. That's pretty, you have to know yourself, and it has to be held in the heart, because you don't want to start getting knowledge imparted to you by your darker side and you feed off of that because you are trying to be wholeheartedly honest with your darker side.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that make sense? You want to be honest with yourself, you've got to put a check on yourself. So that would be a pro and a con, would be being honest with yourself and not being honest with yourself when you do this work with yourself. I have stuff that comes up and I lash out here and there because I'm being shown parts of me that may have happened a long time ago that I've never checked with myself, and maybe I'm still not checking with myself, but they come up in subtle ways, you know? So
I feel like maybe it's almost like you're getting information that you're not ready to process yet, that maybe you subconsciously
you're always you're always ready to process it. You were at every second you're given an opportunity to respond correctly to a situation, a circumstance, or some part of you that you have not healed every second of the day. Every second of the day. And it's a matter of you being on point, you know, with the signs. And it takes time for you to see it for what it is. The more you grow, the more it's open to you. The more the seeker asks, the more it will be given to him.
Right. Okay.
So
yeah.
The farther you get in your travels, the more you're going to be shown about yourself because you can handle it. The catch is how you respond and how you react.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's as a human, it's a given. It's a given how we react. And I'm guilty of reacting in certain ways that I may not be proud of. You know, I'm not perfect, but I'm learning. You know.
Yeah.
We all
do. I can tell you right now. I've acted like a fool sometimes. I know. Trust me, I know.
But that's the better part of you being aware on your spiritual path, is that you're getting the opportunity. You know, you screw up, you know, you'll get another chance to make it right. It might happen 5 minutes. It might happen, you know, a couple of days. But trust me, you'll get another chance to make it right. It's a given. It's what we're here having a human experience for in a soul body. You know, I'm not this body. I'm having a soul journey right now, and I'm having fun, you know, correcting and making good and, you know,
yes.
Loving light.
There
was
a couple of questions that popped up that I wanted to ask really
sure.
quick.
Sure. More questions.
Yeah, everybody's liking this topic. It's a nice one. So the first one that
I was so nervous in the beginning.
Oh, girl, they're loving it. We love this topic. So the first one was they had heard that if you ask your guides, you can travel to your original planet to, like, get your original planetary.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So is that something that you have you traveled to other planets and, like,
oh,
like,
Lord,
actually spoken with other beings?
Yes. Yes, I have. That's where I do a lot of self-knowledge. That's like the main place that I do my self-knowledge, my dwelling, my seeking. It's, you ask, they'll take you. They'll definitely take you. They'll introduce themselves to you. You know, they'll let you know what it is that you need to learn about yourself. But it varies from individual to individual. that it comes with knowing yourself. So let's say you're into music. You know, you may get signs through music. It's you can hear a song on the radio. You can see a commercial, and it can be an intuitive flash, you know. It's different for everyone, but yeah.
Yeah, and then another thing that keeps coming up for a lot of people is they can't remember their astral traveling. Is there any kind of tips that you can give people to help them remember when they astral travel?
Yes, journal. That is the main thing. Okay, this is like my biggest thing that I tell everyone who inquires. If you truly want to become a master of self through astral travel, journal everything. Mm-hmm. Journal everything. Consider yourself an astronaut. Literally consider yourself an astronaut. An astronaut could not find himself anywhere unless he maps his course. He has to map his course. For everything that he sees in the spiritual realms, in the space, if you want to call yours, because I'm always saying I'm taking off and going to space, I write everything down. When I come back down to Earth, I chart it all out, down to, you know, if the moon was in Gemini, if the sun, you know, wherever is going on. Right now, you know, we have the sun in Gemini, and I believe the moon just moved into Libra. You know, chart all of this stuff down, because when you start writing, journaling everything, you're doing yourself the hugest favor, because when these energies play out all over again, you can see how you reacted the last time this energy happened. That's right. The whole part of you being able to fix your karmic past. Mm-hmm. An astral traveler will definitely know how to manifest the right things, to give himself the proper situation to fix a course, charting a course, journal everything. That my biggest thing would be journal everything. Consider yourself an astronaut, and you've got to chart a course. You've got to make a map. Big thing.
I love how you put that. That was great. I love the whole, how does an astronaut find themselves, but they have to map everything or they would get lost.
We're talking about different realms here. This isn't planet Earth. You're going somewhere else, and you got to know what stars you've hung out, what mansions you've played in, like the houses. I call them mansions. You know, you've got houses. You've got the 12 houses, the zodiacs. You know, where were you hanging out when you learned all of this stuff? You got to know when you go back to that place that this may be the house of where you're learning. So remember when you go to certain houses, what you're going to get when you go there.
Yes,
map it out.
Absolutely. Fully agree. And a question for myself, actually, because I am a journaler.
Yes.
So I am a dream journaler. I get a lot of stuff from my dreams. So when I wake up in the morning, sometimes it's at odd hours, even in the dark, I write it down before I even get out of bed, because a lot of times, the moment my feet hit the floor and I move, things start disappearing. I can actually see my memories and my dreams just disappearing, and I can't remember it. But I know it was there.
Okay.
So,
I think you asked that question, too. You said someone asked a question about forgetting what they remember in the astral realms, or like when you dream.
Right.
Try not to engage in any other activity until you get everything out.
Yes.
Like, don't even think about getting. Don't get out the bed. Don't let your feet hit the floor, because now you're thinking about moving on for the morning.
Exactly.
You're totally disengaged in that thought that you just woke up with.
Yes, absolutely. So when I write it, I'll do it before I get out of bed. But how do I know the difference between a dream and an astral travel? Because some of my dreams are trippy, but I don't know if they're astral travel.
That's the misconception. Everything that you do with thought of mind is technically in the astral realms. A thought is something that comes from the astral realms until it manifests here in the earth plane to you. Everything starts first in the mind. Everything starts with a thought.
Yeah.
Everything. Everything. When you see cars, there was a blueprint before that car came out, and before that blueprint came out, that someone thought of, oh my gosh, a car. I would love to draw this car. Someone thought of it first. So everything happens first out there. So don't think of it so much as astral travel or dreaming. That's what it is. In the astral realms, that's a dream.
Right.
Yeah,
somebody said I started setting intentions before I go to sleep to develop abilities, etc. That's beautiful, and that actually does work.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Affirmations. Yep. And affirmations, intentions, and then when you wake it up, back it on up, say it again, and then get the wheels in motion for your day.
Yes. Absolutely. Yep. And then someone also asked, is lucid dreaming the same thing or totally different? I would say, based on what you just said,
it's all the same. It's just different forms and different levels, because every individual is going to receive their experience different, and their term for it is going to sway. It's such a broad It's such a broad term that it can fall anywhere. It can fall into meditation. It can fall into coloring. I travel when I color. I'll start coloring and I'll zone out, and I'll be gone literally 4 or 5 minutes, but it felt like an hour.
Yeah.
There's no time and space in the astral realms, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a form of therapy. It's a form of, you know, you getting in touch with your higher consciousness. I love color therapy. And that's all a part of, because I can see auras.
Yeah,
you know,
and somebody
I just love
said,
color. I love playing with color. Oh my gosh, I'm almost like obsessed to the point sometimes. But I'm listening. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, somebody was saying it's like different degrees of control.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then another person asked if it was the same thing as sleep paralysis, and you were talking about sleep paralysis earlier that you had when you were a child, so it does relate to that. Yeah,
it does tie in. It does tie in, because when you look up the definition of sleep paralysis, it says it's a phenomenon.
Yeah. Yes. And that's a scary thing for a lot of people. So
it is. It really is. It really is. Yeah.
So I think right now, because we've got about 15 minutes, I'm going to open up the lines so that anybody can call in and ask questions if they want. I've started getting visions.
Sure.
So I'm going to hold up the phone number for anybody on Periscope if you want to call in. And it looks like we do have somebody on hold, so I'm going to answer that one first. And then anybody else who calls in, we'll just kind of go down the line. And if you have questions, feel free to ask. If you want to share a personal story about astral traveling, feel free to do that as well. And anyone on the podcast,
I'd love to hear a few stories.
Yeah, so if you guys have stories, the number is 657-383-0531. And I'll hold this up again. Feel free to call in if you want to be on the line. And I'm going to go ahead and take our first caller if you're ready. Are you ready, Sage?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So welcome to Meta Musings. This is Misty, and you're live on the air. Who are we speaking with?
My name is Barb.
Hi, Barb. How are you?
How are you?
Good. I didn't get a chance to listen to the whole program. I just listened to a few minutes of it. But I have a question.
Sure.
And I'm wondering, because I typically don't remember my dreams. I hadn't. However, now sometimes I feel like it's astral travel, only because I feel like I'm in a movie. I can smell the things.
Yep.
Like I was in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
all the pyramids and the garb and I was on somebody's Thoth's head, you know, and I actually felt like I was part of it. And then another time I was on a telephone wire sitting there watching a relative's house from the corner and looking down, and it was all black and white. And then I actually walked, and it had snowed at the time. And even walking, I remember hearing the crunch of the snow.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
That is
awesome. Yeah. That can't be dreaming. That's got to be astral travel, doesn't it?
That's a form of astral travel. Dreaming, that's more of a higher conscious. It's more as though it is dreaming.
Okay.
In a sense. But when you're able to have all of your senses that you see here and use here in the physical world, they actually activate in the spiritual world, that's just a deeper form of you tapping into a gift that you have. I would explore that. I would definitely explore that because I go to Egypt all the time. And
wow.
It's the most awesomest trip to take when you astral travel because you literally can, like, taste the sand. Like, I'll go and I'll, like, taste the sand, and you can feel the heat and the moisture from the heat there. Yeah. Yep.
The sounds. I mean, it was like, whoa.
Yep. You've got.
And I knew I was on. I thought it was a gorilla. I don't know why I thought that, but I kind of did. But then,
is that the sensation that you got when you came out of your travels or your dream? You should journal this. Have you journaled this, or is it just a strong memory that you don't even need to journal?
I don't even need to journal it. I can tell you exactly. I knew exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then the only other one that I had was my mom had died, and there was something that had happened that kind of bothered me that I was kind of upset with, and her and I were always very close, and I loved her dearly. So anyway, she came to see me or visit me, and she said, "Let's go shopping." Now, if you knew me, you'd know how much I hate shopping. Okay, I hate it.
I don't like shopping
either. So I'm like, yeah, okay. And it was funny because I don't remember the house, but I remember the white picket fence that was around the house.
Yeah.
And my mother always wanted an orange convertible. Well, anyway, we got in this orange convertible, and it was like I was traveling with her because it was like quick segments, flashes of going through phases of my life or her life, I don't remember.
These are your guides, and these are your ancestors, and these are your teachers. These are those who are watching over you. When these deep experiences, these are your guides taking you on travels. As opposed to when you have a dream and it's like fuzzy and it's not so much of the emotional, spiritual senses that you wake up with. These are your guides. These are your guides, like, really wholeheartedly taking you by the hand, and they're like, "Come on, we got somewhere to go. I got to show you something."
And you know what was funny? After that trip with my mother, I'll never forget it. I had to wait till I got behind the white picket fence, and she got in the car and blew me a kiss. And from that day on, I have never been upset with what I was upset before.
See, you
That's
healed
beautiful.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how that works? That was
Yeah.
Me. Yep.
So that wasn't like, but how do you know who your spirit guides are? Everybody like
you
knows
can
names.
Ask them. You can ask them before you go to sleep. You light a candle and pray. Light a white candle and pray.
Okay.
And ask them to reveal themselves to you. You pray before you go to sleep. And if it doesn't happen that first night, don't worry. Just light the candle before you go to sleep the next night. And you just ask the same prayer. They will reveal themselves to you. And it'll be just at the right moment. It'll be awesome. And journal these moments. You know, give yourself a nice little guide of when they introduce themselves to you, because they definitely will if you ask. And
yes.
Just be patient with yourself as well.
You know what the only thing, though, is I'm kind of afraid to ask them, because after my mother died, she was dead about 3 years, I
yes.
just said, Mom, you need to come here right now. And in my mind, you know, I was at work and I was having, I'm like, you know, gosh darn it, you just need to come now, you know. Lo and behold, there was a woman that comes in the door, looks, it's my mother.
Wow.
At my office, walking towards me. And I'm like, oh, my God. Very
yeah.
purposefully, very businesslike, because that was kind
mm-hmm.
of her demeanor.
Yeah.
And the person or the image, whatever you want to call it, sat down in the desk next to me, and until she kind of turned, up until that time, I didn't see the actual person who it was. I saw my mother.
Wow.
Oh,
no. So, and it freaked me out, because my boss
yeah.
said, what's the matter? You look like you've seen a ghost. And I'm thinking,
yeah.
oh, holy no.
That, you know, they will... If it's a matter of the devotion of the emotion that is coming from deep down in your heart, and because
see, it
you
was.
Have such
yes.
an emotional bond with your mom, you know, it's almost though you spoke that into existence so wholeheartedly that she had no choice but to walk through and let you see her in the image of someone else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
yep.
exactly right.
Yep.
So I'm kind of leery.
yeah, but
you
don't.
Know, I'm,
but don't.
Pardon?
You know, if you have, I have. How much time do we have left? We have about 9 minutes.
Yeah, we have about
9 minutes. If you can take the email, I wanted to give the email out for viewers.
Yeah.
I could give you like a nice protection affirmation before you actually ask for your guides to show themselves to you, and this will basically protect you from any negative energies that may surround themselves or may try to entertain you getting in touch with your guides. It keeps the energy balance away from any negativity or entities that try to pry. So
okay.
I'm going to give my email out towards the end
yeah.
of the show, but definitely...
Go ahead and give your email, and then, Barb, we'll go ahead and take the next caller just so we can get someone else before the end of the show. But I just
okay.
want to say that I loved you calling in, Barb, and your stories
Thank
and
you.
Your dreams are amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barb.
What's
are you
your
ready
email?
For the email? Okay, it's intuitive sage dove, all one word. @gmail.com.
Okay.
Everybody's saying that was awesome, Barb. We love you, Barb. So everybody loved your comments and your questions. You're awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing, Barb.
Thank you. And
thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and take the next call. Thank you so much, Barb.
Okay.
Have a great
you.
Evening, Barb.
You too.
Bye-bye. Are you still there, Sage Dove?
I am.
Okay, good. I'm still learning the ropes on those calls. I hope I didn't hang up on my host. All right, let's take the next caller. Just one moment here. Hi, welcome to Meta Musings. This is Misty. Thank you so much for holding. Who are we speaking with?
Oh, you're speaking to Natasha.
Hi, Natasha. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you this evening?
Great. Did you have a question
Hi,
for Sage?
Sure. Yes. Oh, sure. Hi, Sage. How are you?
Hi. How are you, Natasha? How are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine. Just relaxing, finally, after a long day.
Great. Nice to settle in for the evening.
Yes. Okay, I have a question in terms of employment. Currently, right now, I'm unemployed. I've been getting my resume out to several agencies, but only one agency called back. So I'm thinking that maybe I should tweak my resume a little bit, or should I leave it and just present the resume with cover letters? I'm not really sure what to do. I'm kind of a bit complex because normally when I get out my resume, I always receive calls back like within the same week.
That makes sense. Have you focused your specific job? Have you focused your resume to like the specific job that you are looking for right now? Because a lot of times the employers use this program where if you submit it via email, they look for keywords. So if you go online and look for resume keywords, there's certain keywords that you can throw in, like your objective, or you can throw within your explanation for some of your experiences or, you know, schools that you've been to. Pull out those keywords, and those keywords, when you submit it via email, that's what grabs the attention. It's not so much the employer. It's the programs that they're using to scan the emails for resumes.
Okay. All right. Because I'm kind of – it's been 3 weeks now.
Yeah. Just be patient. Something's gonna come out. In the meantime, just send out as many as you can.
Okay. All right. Now, do you see me it's going into a to a temp to perm position, or do you see temping and interviewing for perm positions?
Hey, Natasha. I don't mean to cut anybody off, but we've only got about 4 minutes left, and we wanted to kind of stay on the topic of astral traveling. Did you have any questions about astral traveling?
Oh, sure. Do you see me traveling next summer to Egypt?
I'm not sure I can answer that question. In the sense of you're looking for maybe like a reading or a tarot reading or a possible insight in that directive, this is a little different.
Oh,
this topic is a little different. No, that's okay. That's all right.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't worry about it.
No,
okay.
And if you keep listening, we'll have some, we'll have psychic mediums on and tarot readers on, and that'll be definitely a time to call
but
in.
But definitely,
for
Natasha, definitely, not sure if you were able to take the email address because I do tarot readings and Oracle as well. So you're more than willing to reach out to me via email. And then we can set up a private reading if that's something that you're into.
I'm definitely interested.
Oh, thank you so much, Natasha. And thank you, Sage Doug, for giving that email out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm listening to the show. Okay.
Have a good evening, Natasha. Thank you.
All right, so we only have a couple minutes left. Before the show ends, I just want to let everybody know that you can get in touch with Sage Dove. And what was your email again, just so everybody can have that?
Okay, I'm going to give the email out again. It's intuitivesagedove@gmail.com. And you can also find me at thesagedove.wordpress.com.
And I put both of those in the chat room. And if you are following me on Facebook, I'll also follow up with a post on Facebook with all of her information so you can get in contact with her. And I just want to thank you so much for joining me tonight, Sage Dove. It was really fun talking with you and having callers
thank
and everybody.
You.
It was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. This was an awesome, awesome experience. Thank you, everyone who's been able to tune in via the radio show and via Periscope, the callers. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is awesome. Everyone have a great evening.
Thank you. You too. You too. Have a wonderful evening. And maybe we'll do a follow-up show because we have so much to talk about on this subject. It's just so big.
There is a lot to talk about. Agreed. Anytime.
Yeah, so. Awesome. Well, you have a wonderful evening. And thank you everyone,
well,
for listening.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good evening. Good night.
And just so everyone knows, we won't be back on for a couple of weeks. I'll be posting on my Facebook page the next show since I'll be on vacation. So I think it's the second week in July. And follow me on Facebook. It's in my handle. It's Facebook MetaMusings. So I will see you guys later. Bye-bye.